The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
The diseases that literally unforgiveness causes horrible diseases, painful diseases, depression.
Crippling arthritis.
Crippling arthritis, exactly.
Dr. Don Colbert and his wife Mary discuss the impact that forgiveness has on your health and how you can live in the spiritual health zone.
My heart was so pure. I felt so clean. For the first time in my life, I felt so clean. I remember that moment of just like, I'm a new creature.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Tammy Trent is with me.
Hello.
And, you know, Tammy, we've had a great time talking about the spiritual health zone. We want you to get this because we want you to be healthy in mind, body, and spirit. But your spirit has to be healthy. And so, by the way, if you missed any of the programs, go to lifetoday.org. Whew, there's some good stuff there.
Yes,
my parents are there as well. But our guests all week have been Don and Mary Colbert, joined us on some of the programs. Dr. Don Colbert, been with us the whole time. Welcome back.
Well, thank you.
And you know, if you missed, if you missed some of the programs, you'll want to hear Mary's testimony, and that is out there.
Incredible.
But Mary, give us, just a little recap so people understand the weight that unforgiveness, you know, had on you and how it could have really led to a lot of the problems that you deal with patients on a daily basis. But give us a little bit of an idea of what you faced.
Well, there's a lot of people that are hurting. And there's a lot of abuse, abandonment, neglect, betrayal. Betrayal is huge. Mm-hmm. Just feeling betrayed.
Sure. Yes.
And, of course, I experienced the ultimate betrayal. Your father wanted to have sex with you.
Yeah.
Your biological father.
Yeah.
That just doesn't compute.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, I understand the levels that people suffer under of that sense of betrayal, and their safety was not given to them that was rightly, the children that are going through it.
Yeah.
But what I found is that when you come to a place that you are willing to surrender it all to Him and give your life, as bad as it was, as ugly as it was, the pain of it, whatever it is, when you're willing to get to a point that you say, I don't want to carry this anymore. I don't want this eating me up anymore. I want to let it go. He is right there ready to take it.
Yeah.
He is.
Amen.
He
Amen.
Is ready to exchange. And I want people to know, on the other side of that ugliness can be the most incredible life.
Yeah.
Full of joy and peace. And He will take you and He will lead you and He will use you. Because when I came to the Lord and I became on fire, and I was going to tell everybody about Jesus and the love He put in my heart. And this is real. This is not fake. It's not made up. It's real. I don't know about Him anymore. I know Him. My mother, when I first came in, I was so excited. She could not handle my forgiveness thing.
Yeah.
I was so full of joy. And I love Dad. I love you, Dad. I forgive you, Dad. It's blowing her up, right?
Yeah.
Like, how can you? Because she was so full of hatred and bitterness in her heart.
She was hurt.
Yeah, she was hurt and betrayed and all many. And she could not relate to what was happening in me. So to deal with it, she took my stuff and she threw me to the streets. So I became homeless.
Really?
Yeah. So the church that I met Him in, I didn't know what to do. I gathered up my stuff and I walked down to the church. They had an upper room. It was an Assembly of God church. And I walked up to the prayer room upstairs, put my stuff behind a couch, and there I lived. I lived in the upper room
did
of
they
a
know
church.
It? Did
no,
they know
they
this?
Didn't know.
No, no. The pastor had a shower.
Mm-hmm.
And I unlocked the back door to the church, and they never checked it.
Oh, no.
So happy for me.
Incredible.
So I would come in and out. of the back door of the church, but I would sleep in that upper room. But I got to tell you something. I wouldn't trade those months I lived in the upper room in his arms for everything that he's done in my life since. Because I came to know him and how much he loved me. Once you find that place of how much he loves you and he wants to do something through you, it changes everything.
And it's interesting that, really what we see in your life today, it started with a very, very hard thing, which is forgiveness. And out of so many things, I don't know, Dr. Don, I mean, so much negative comes out of unforgiveness, does it not?
Oh, absolutely. When you have unforgiveness, you're inviting the tormentors or the torturers in. And that's Matthew chapter 18.
That's exactly
Remember
right.
when Peter came to Jesus and he said, Lord, how often should I forgive? Up to seven times? Mm-hmm. Because back then, three times was what they recommended, according to the book of Amos. But Jesus says, no, not seven times, but seven times 70. In other words, limitless. Then he went on to tell the story of the king who wanted to settle the account. Mm-hmm. And he said, there's a certain ruler, and he came to settle the accounts, and one man owed 10,000 talents, which is equivalent to billions of dollars.
That is a big amount. Yeah.
But the man fell down at his feet because he was going to have to sell his family and everything and go to prison. And he fell down and begged him, and so he forgave him all his debt. This man then went out, and a man who just owed him 100 denarii, which is only a few thousand dollars, a denarius is one day's work, 100 days' work, he had him thrown into prison until he should pay his debt. The word got back to the ruler, and he brought the evil servant back in, and here's what he said. He says, you wicked, evil servant. He said, didn't I forgive you all your debt? And why did you go out and didn't forgive the man who you should have forgiven? And so it says he threw him he turned him over to the torturers or the tormentors until he had paid his entire debt. And it says then, verse 35, that's Matthew 18, 35, so likewise will he do to you, each of you, if you from your heart do not forgive anyone that needs forgiveness, that you have not held unforgiveness toward. So again, the torturers, the tormentors, is simply the diseases that, like the fibromyalgia, the diseases that literally unforgiveness causes horrible diseases, painful diseases, depression.
Crippling arthritis. Yeah.
Crippling arthritis, exactly.
We've
horrible
seen
diseases.
This.
Now, again, you say, does it happen always? Well, it's interesting that Paul said in 1 Corinthians, there was a man that committed a sin in the church where he was literally having relations with his stepmother, a sin so grievous that even the Gentiles didn't do that. So Paul said, cast him out of the church and turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that his spirit will be saved. Now, again, that's turning over to the torturers, the tormentors.
But that's accountability. See, the church is holding accountability there.
Yeah.
That you can't just do whatever it is you want to do and go, oh, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. That doesn't cut it with me. That's the point.
But then,
saying accountability.
But then in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, that was 1 Corinthians 5, it talks about the sin. He was cast out of the church, turned over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. Then he comes back. And now he tells them to forgive him. He says, the punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man. And it says, now whom you forgive, anything I also forgive, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices.
Because
his devices is unforgiveness. It gives him entrance into your body, into your mind, into literally to take control and torment. The torturers come in, the tormentors come in, and so many people are being tormented, but they leave a door open.
Yeah.
And the main door that he comes through is unforgiveness, an open door, like you leave the front door open to your house, any snake, any possum, a rattlesnake, water moccasin comes into your house and lives, and then all of a sudden, you sit on a couch and a snake bites you.
But the one thing we've got to cover real quick is the repentance.
Yes, we got to repent.
Because there are people watching right now who are the ones who have caused the pain.
Ooh, yes.
And they are the ones who have inflicted the pain, and they're watching and going, what
they
do I
repent.
Do?
They repent.
There's got to
The tormentors are coming on them.
That's right. Yes. And that's critical that they know that. And part of repentance is also doing what you can do in restoration.
Yes.
If you have hurt someone, if you have violated someone, you need to really seek them out and beg their forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And ask them to forgive you. No conditions.
Yes, absolutely.
You don't make any conditions because it's a gift.
No excuses.
Forgiveness is a gift. It's a gift. You don't do anything for it to get that gift.
And so is repentance is a gift.
It is a gift. But it doesn't mean reconciliation.
That's exactly
because,
right.
Because, again, some people need to be out of your life. They're abusers.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
So it's critical that you listen to the Holy Spirit, be led by the Holy Spirit. But Mary gave one of the best examples, because when she went back, when she had this experience and she wept those tears and wouldn't let them go in her mouth, she went back home. And she put her arms around her dad and loved him and told him, she kissed him on the cheek and said, Dad, I love you. Hmm. Well, he broke, had a nervous breakdown. Well,
you know, and I did it not expecting anything.
I didn't have any strings attached. That's agape love.
I had no strings attached. I had no motives, behind the scene motive. My heart was so pure. I felt so clean. I felt so clean for the first time in my life. Mm-hmm. I felt so clean. I remember that moment of just like, I'm a new creature. I felt like a complete new creature.
2 Corinthians 5:17.
And, and it was the freedom was exciting. And all I wanted to do was share that love with him.
How did he receive it?
Well, he started shaking, and he's shaking, shaking. Then next thing you know, he's crying. Mm. 2 hours later, he's still sobbing
but
and crying.
But did he repent? Did he repent?
No, no repentance.
Okay. That's the
no
key.
Repentance.
Okay.
He felt condemned.
Yeah.
He felt condemned. His sin had condemned him. And so he was sobbing, crying, and not saying, oh, Mary, please forgive me. None of that. He was just, it was bad.
Yeah. But he ended up in a mental institution.
Mom called the ambulance to him. She goes, what did you do? I didn't do anything. I just told him I loved him and I forgave him. She called an ambulance. They admitted him in. And when they found out what he had been doing, it wasn't just me. It was my other sister, too.
Oh.
I'm one of four girls, so I wasn't the only one that went through this. And so when they found out what happened and was going on in the family, they were like, whoa, let's bring these people in and find out how crazy they are. So when I came in to talk with the psychiatrist who was treating Dad, you know, and had been treating him for 3 months, he was admitted, and they were putting him through therapy.
Now, how old were you, 21 at this
time? I was 21 at the time. And by this time, you know, I was homeless, and I'd been in the Word, and I'm
full of joy, full of peace.
I'm full of the Holy Ghost.
Rent free at the church.
She's a walking Bible.
I was a walking Bible. Yes. And the psychiatrist sat across from me, goes, well, let me talk to you, young lady. And he's starting to talk to me, and we're having a conversation going through. By the time we finished, he just sat back in his chair, and he goes, How did you do it? And I go, what do you mean? You're so together. Mm. I don't understand. I've heard what you've gone through. Mm-hmm. How can you be so together? And I just looked at that psychiatrist and I said, because I exchanged my life for his.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. You used a word. And I know you talk about this in the spiritual health zone.
Yes.
And a lot of people get this because they physically do a cleansing, right? And we drink or eat certain things and we get rid of the toxins.
Yeah.
How important is it that we do a spiritual cleansing? Not we just for our spiritual health, but even for our physical health.
It's critical because, again, it involves repentance. We have to repent because, again, so many Christians aren't willing to go to the altar and repent. Now, you can do it at your home. You don't have to go to the altar.
Right.
You can do it at your home and repent. You need to have sincere sorrow for what you've done and repent and then ask forgiveness. He promises you forgiveness. Then you receive forgiveness. You can't hold unworthiness, but we're to come boldly to the throne of grace so we can obtain mercy to help. in time of need. So again, we receive the forgiveness because if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
That's the key.
Yeah.
And so we repent, we ask That's forgiveness, and then we receive cleansing.
Yes.
And we
exactly.
get rid of unworthiness.
Exactly what happened to you. The cleansing.
Yes. I had a cleansing. I felt like I'd had a bath for the
yeah.
first
Amen.
Time
yeah.
in my life.
The hope that that brings. You've got something from the book on hope because
yeah.
I really want
yes.
people to see
yeah.
the hope.
Yes, the hope
at the end of all this.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
Jesus is our hope. See,
he so is.
And
as I was reading through,
yeah.
first of all, you are like Pastor Pastor Don Colbert right now. Like you have a scripture for everything, and it's right here. That's what I love about you, and I want that for my life too, just to be able to recite. And there it is. It's at the tip of my tongue. And I mean, it's just all about your life, and that's why you're living the way you're living, too, because you're walking, breathing Jesus every minute, and I love it. It's inspiring, and as I went through your book, one of the chapters was on hope, and that obviously means
right.
so much to me, and I know it means a lot to our viewers, and it was developing unshakable hope.
Yes.
So I wrote this down because yeah. I thought it was important for me to be reminded
sure.
of it.
Right.
The very meaning of hope seems to have been watered down over time.
Amen.
Even among Christians, we almost use it as a fond but unrealistic notion, mm-hmm. a faint wish for a good outcome, something mm-hmm. from the Wizard of Oz or maybe a mm-hmm. song sung from a Disney fairy godmother. But biblical hope is one of the strongest forces in existence. It is a powerful expectancy, a fully confident desire for some positive result. It is an anticipation that leads to action, a life-giving attitude, and an energizing hunger for an excellent outcome. Hope is an expectation, not a wish upon a star.
Amen.
So many of us do have that backwards, even as believers. Oh, I wish upon a star.
Amen.
Oh, I hope.
Hope is not wishing. Hope is expectation. You
Jesus.
See the answer, and now you are expectant.
Jesus.
Like an expectant mother. She's expecting
Jesus.
To deliver in 9 months.
Yeah. Oh.
That is the way hope. Christians mm-hmm. have so misunderstood hope.
Yes.
You see, you can't have faith without hope. Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. But again, it's like driving a car with no tread on the tire if you don't have hope. Hope is the tread mm-hmm. that literally gives us the expectation to mm-hmm. receive our faith.
Yes.
And then you've got to have these three. It's a three-pronged cord. It's the hope, the faith, and the love. They
yeah.
go together.
Yeah, that's
and it.
It
won't be easily broken.
That's it.
And
that's
when
it.
You have the Word
Amen.
Of God.
Yes. Amen.
When you pour this into
oh,
you.
Oh, this is the key to everything.
And you see,
yes.
I took literal
yes.
what he said.
Yes.
I have plans for you to do good for
yes.
you,
Amen.
To give you
yes.
hope,
and we,
to bless you. I read that and went,
she came from poverty.
Jeremiah 29:11.
Yes, I believe
it.
Yes. I believed. I believed
yes.
every dotted I and every crossed
yes.
T that he
Me
said.
Too. Hallelujah.
Well, that's why it says in Colossians, I believe it's 1:27, this is the mystery. Christ of the Gentiles, Christ
in you,
the hope of glory.
The hope, okay.
And
right.
we are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm. You
are,
got it.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it. I want everyone to have it. I want
yes.
you to have it.
Yes.
And look, if you want someone to pray with you, we'll put that mm-hmm. telephone number right there. You can call it anytime. Someone mm-hmm. will pray
yes.
with you.
Yes.
They, if you need to walk through repentance, you can do that. You need to pray for someone else, whatever you need. We're here because we want you to have that hope.
Yes.
That's why we're offering Don Colbert's Spiritual Health Zone, to give you hope. And that's also why we want you to join us in an opportunity to bring hope to other people, because there is an expectation that God will answer their prayers, and you and I are the answer to their prayers. Watch this and you'll understand.
Mm-hmm.
And be sure you request this book with your gift towards this beautiful outreach.
Right now, people around the world are suffering the effects of a deadly poison. And there's little they can do to avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
The deadly poison of unsafe water takes a toll on every victim it touches. In the most tragic cases, the poison takes that which cannot be given back.
As I'm here with this little child, as precious as he is, he's probably between 2 and 3 years old, maybe 4. But you know, he may not make it past 4 or 5, if he doesn't have the water that he needs. He has water, but it's contaminated. And so many more children like him all around the world, they need our help. Children like this, we want to see them grow up and have a chance in life. Let God touch your heart, and let's help these precious children.
Let God touch your heart. I think that's my prayer every time I go on a trip, is God, touch my heart, change me, show me something. What is the need? What can I do? People are suffering everywhere. I know it. Everywhere. But to me, there's nothing like suffering than when I'm in one of these places, sitting in a village with these families that are telling me story after story after story, how their children have died or their mother has died, and now they're without a parent, and they're trying to just make it through, trying to just survive. But on top of all that's going on, the water that they're drinking is poisonous, is literally killing them. I just can't even imagine that kind of suffering. And Randy, I don't know about you, but I don't think I could ever fully go without wanting to do something. Like, now that I know the problem and I know that there's a solution, I know that we could actually turn this thing around, that I know that it's as simple as coming together with a bunch of friends, a bunch of people, that doesn't cost that much, and drilling a well in a village like that.
The beauty is, we know because we've done it.
Yes,
we've seen it.
Yes.
We've watched the health turn around.
Yes.
We've seen sick children become well children. And you know, it perfectly parallels what we're talking about with Dr. Colbert.
Yes.
And the spiritual health zone, because we're talking about getting rid of the poisons in your soul so that your soul will be healthy. And it's the same thing over there where they have the poisonous water. We're getting rid of these toxins, these things that are tormenting the body, tormenting the soul. And Don and Mary, we want to say thank you to you, because we know that you have helped drill water wells, just like we're asking people to do today.
Sure. We know that people are struggling on so many levels. Yeah. We understand that. So please don't change the channel. Don't change the channel and say, oh, I can't handle this, it's too much, and turn it away. Please don't do that. Please don't turn away. Because you, any little bit that you can do can make a huge difference.
Yeah.
You don't have to do a whole lot. Not a whole lot. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Because a lot of the little bits come together and makes a big change.
Does. Yes, it does.
Makes a huge change.
And, we're also not to love in just a word and in tongue with our speech, but in deed and in truth. There's no greater thing than to give life to children with clean water. Mm-hmm. And again, we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. You're being a doer of the word.
Amen.
Yeah.
And
Jesus
said, I was thirsty, you gave me drink.
You gave me drink.
Hungry,
that's it right there. And, that's all we're asking of you today. There are people in need. We're asking you to fill that need. And when you do, we want to help you. And that's what this is all about. So will you do something? Some of you can do what feels like a little, but it's a lot. Others, yes. Maybe you can drill an entire well. Whatever God puts on your heart, we're asking you to go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can. As Mary said, every little makes a difference. And request the spiritual health zone. Let's be healthy and let's give health to others.
You don't have to suffer the debilitating effects of fear, shame, and other toxic emotions that can harm your health. Introducing Dr. Don Colbert's inspiring new book, Spiritual Health Zone, a roadmap to adding joy, peace, and years to your life. In its pages, you'll discover how gratitude, forgiveness, and love are keys to divine health that can restore your body, mind, and spirit. Request Spiritual Health Zone with any gift to help drill 350 water wells this year that will provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families.
Hey, Dr. Don Colbert here. Did you realize that contaminated drinking water is one of the leading causes of death and disease throughout the world? Clean drinking water is absolutely essential to good health. That's why I've joined with Life Today in helping to drill water wells throughout the world. We've been partners for years, and I encourage you to do the same. Give the gift of clean, healthy water. God bless you. Thank you.
With a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, you may also request our new bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah, inspired by Revelation 5:5. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
As you help us bring health to others, we want to bless you in every way, starting with your spiritual health. It will affect everything. So pick up the phone, go online, make the best gift you can, and request Dr. Colbert's Spiritual Health Zone. Tammy, the information and the hope and the joy, I mean.
Everything. We packed it all in as fast as we could. I love you both. You are both good medicine for my soul and for my spirit.
Oh, praise God.
I hope that you felt the same today. We love you genuinely. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
Introducing the all-new LifeToday.org. Dive into your favorite Life Today programs, explore impactful ministry outreaches, and discover life-changing spiritual resources, all in one place. Plus, it's easier than ever to support our mission with seamless donation options. Never miss a moment to get connected, get inspired, and get involved. Anytime, anywhere, Life Today is always on. Visit the new LifeToday.org and experience the best of life.
Dr. Don Colbert explains how love is the eternal, nourishing root of all wellness in the Spiritual Health Zone. Tomorrow on Life Today.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.